Welcome to CWS Christian Writing and Speaking. I'm your host, Jackie Wilson. And today's guest is an author and a facilitator of writer's workshops and memoir classes for people with dissociative disorders. Her memoir, Crazy, Reclaiming Life from the Shadow of Traumatic Memory, follows her discovery of and recovery from multiple personality disorder, now called dissociative identity disorder. She was diagnosed with DID in 1992 while climbing the career ladder. But after considerable therapeutic work, she now lives a happily integrated life with her husband. Let's welcome to the CWS stage, Ms. Lynn Barrett. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here, Jackie. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think your story is so important, especially for the Christian community. As we briefly talked before I hit record, a lot of times we don't recognize what's going on with people. And education is one of the most important aspects to being able to help people when there is a need. And so I would love for you to share your story with the audience and how your faith journey was a part of all of it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this opportunity. So just to place my story into a time context, I will tell your audience that I am now 75 years old. When I was in my late 30s, and that would have been back in 1992, I was diagnosed with multiple personality disorder. That disorder was later renamed dissociative identity disorder, or DID. And so that's what my story all hinges around, is that diagnosis. I would say for the 10 years leading up to the diagnosis and for 10 years after the diagnosis, I was either decompensating, which means I was basically falling apart emotionally and every other way, or starting to do the hard work of uncovering and discovering what caused this disorder to be a part of me. And as you said in your introduction, I am, thank God, happily integrated now, but it took a lot of hard work to do that. So I want to explain very briefly what dissociative identity disorder is, because there's a lot of misunderstanding out there about the disorder. It is, and most of us actually consider it more of a coping strategy than a disorder. It is the body and mind's method of protecting a small child who is having or experiencing chronic childhood trauma or abuse. So for that child, the separating into different parts actually protects the child, because often the child has to go back and rely on the very people who are abusing them. And so it's functional for them to not know what's happening. So a large part of us has no idea that we're being abused, but a part of us does know that we're being abused, or many parts of us know that we're being abused or traumatized in some way. So in my case, I met along the way, somewhere around 20 different parts of me. We sometimes call them alters. Sometimes we call them insiders. And they're often, as an adult, other people don't know that we have DID, and we don't even know we have DID in the beginning, because that's the whole point of this coping strategy, is that we are keeping the secret from ourselves and from others. There's a lot of misinformation out there that makes you think that our different parts may be flamboyant or very obvious, that you really can see a difference in switching. That is true for some people, but for most of us, we're very careful not to show that to other people. We don't understand it ourselves, and so we are keeping it under lock and key for the rest of the world too. So in my case, I did have, I was suicidal most of the time, and I attempted suicide once. I hospitalized myself for 30 days until I was finally diagnosed. So all of that happened before my diagnosis. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I was a school teacher and I became the head of a private school. And I was functioning really well in certain venues, but I was falling apart at home and internally. In my particular case, I was going through a very difficult divorce, and sometimes stress or trauma in the present will open up the system that was created when we were children. DID is formed when we're children because it happens when our brains are still developing and can develop into different parts. So once I was diagnosed, that did not solve my problem, but it, at least it put me on the track to appropriate therapy that would lead me towards healing and towards ultimate integration of my parts. And when I say integration, that doesn't mean that my parts go away entirely, because that's the way my brain was formed, but they have relinquished all control to me, Lynn, the core personality, and only come forward on very rare occasions when there's something that they need to say to me. So I'd also like to say that I was raised to believe that there was no God. That there is no God. I often say to people, I was born and raised an atheist. And my father taught us that people who believe in God are either stupid or weak. And even as a very young child, and I didn't want to be stupid or weak, you know, and when we're children, we think our parents are God of a sort. And so I followed along in their footsteps. And yet as a very young child, I can remember clearly having this deep, deep yearning for God and sensing that a God existed, but I was too little to understand that. And so I grew up and was an atheist. I married a man who was an atheist, and we raised our children without faith. At least we did that in the beginning. But then I discovered my husband was having an affair, and we began the divorce process, and it was very ugly. And that's when God began. That's when the the broken clay vessel, which was me, was able to allow God to enter in. And that's a whole story in itself, and I won't spend a lot of time on that. But I will say that I moved from no faith to tentative faith, to committed faith, and then to vocational faith, and became an ordained minister in the United Church of Christ. So praise God in the healing work that God led me into. I would also say that in the growth of my faith, God did not miraculously heal me, but God led me to the people and the places that would help me heal from this childhood of traumatic abuse. And so I give great thanks to God for his work in me. And hopefully the work that I'm doing now that can help others in their journey as well. So there's a lot of other things that I could explain to you and your listeners, but I want to just take a pause and see if you have any more questions about DID and my journey. Obviously, I've left out about 95% of it, but I've tried to condense it in a way that might be helpful to your audience.
No, I think you've done a beautiful job. And when you were saying that God did not heal you miraculously, and some people, they do receive that and some people don't. And immediately my mind went to when God was talking to Paul about that thorn and how we have that affliction. Do you want to speak to that?
Well, that is what I, so this summer I was invited to preach and give 4 lectures at Bayview, Michigan Association Chautauqua. And that was one of the pieces that I talked about was, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And that's what I discovered. I heard that scripture for the first time, because remember, I had no background in, you know, in Sunday school and scripture reading or anything like that. When I was sitting in silence in a Quaker meeting and a woman stood up and shared that and said how meaningful it was to her. And then she sat back down again and it was silent again. And it was like, whoa, you know, power made perfect in weakness. I am so weak. And I saw that as my inherent weakness, as my as something that was wrong with me. Yeah. And I discovered that in fact, in that weakness, God enters and can open us up to the power that we need for the good, power for the good, not power for the bad, but power for the good in our own healing and in our lives and with the people around us. Yeah. So thanks for bringing that up. I do love that.
Holy Spirit. I think just listening to you, when you were talking about the weakness, it goes back to your childhood. You know, that seed was planted by your father. And I just want to take a pause right now and say to parents, Christians or not, what we plant, you plant seeds in your children. What type of products or plants do you want to grow out of them? What do you want them to produce in this world? And whatever it is that you want them to produce, you have to plant those types of seeds. So just think about that, parents, and even leaders and church leaders. If you're over Sunday school, Bible study for a child, be careful with your words, because words stay with children. Now, Lynn, you have a couple of books out there, and I would love for you to share the titles again of your book and just tell people what they can expect from your book.
Sure. I have a very small self-published book on my website that's free, that anybody can go in and open up. It's called DID Unpacked, and it's very short, but for someone who doesn't understand what DID is, or someone who is just diagnosed, it might be helpful to look at that just to have a sense of what this coping strategy is and what they might expect in the future. And it ends with great hope. Mm-hmm. I want to note that the illustrations were painted watercolors by a good friend of mine who is a ordained minister himself. And so I was just really grateful that he was willing to do that for me. But the larger book that I have is my memoir, and it's called Crazy. I hope that this book helps people get a realistic understanding of what DID is, mm-hmm. but also provides a really hopeful ending. If you have DID, or if you have someone with the, and you know someone with DID, I am very articulate. I'm very happy. I function really well. So you may look at me and think, oh, it's not such a big deal, but it is a big deal. The pain that we experience over years and decades of our lives is almost unbearable. And most of us are suicidal. So many books about DID sort of take you into the middle of that and leave you there. But praise God, I've moved through that. I experienced that. And I am, I want to say I'm healed. As we all know, we are all healing until the day we die. None of us is fully and completely healed. God is still working in me and God is still working in you. But I am as happy and as functional as anyone else. And so my book will give hope to people who are at the beginning or the middle of this journey. And it will give a good understanding to people who don't know. I wanted it to help other people on their journeys as well, because, and I will mention this quickly, DID is not nearly as rare as people say it is. At least 1% of the worldwide population has it. Now think about that. That means in a church, a Sunday morning where 100 people are gathered, probably at least one person has either diagnosed or undiagnosed DID. So we all know people who have it, but they may not even know they have it. They just may know that they are barely hanging on. If they do know they have it, they're probably not likely to tell you because there's so much stigma. People are afraid they will lose their jobs or their relationships, and so they keep it very secret. Mm-hmm. So that's why I wrote my book, and I hope that some of your listeners might be inspired to find it on Amazon and or Barnes and Noble and read it.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that information. It is definitely needed. Can you tell people what's next for you?
Thank you. I also want to mention that I have founded a group called Dissociative Writers. And if you have been diagnosed with any dissociative disorder, you're welcome to come and join us for writers' workshops. So you can find that information on the website www.dissociativewriters.com. And information about me, you can find on lynnbarrett.com. So I'm doing too much right now, Jackie. So right now, my goal is actually to write, I've started, but only the very beginning, to write a book about forgiveness, its power and its limitations. And I will be looking at religious and psychological approaches to that. I will be speaking on that at the Healing Together Conference in Orlando, Florida in February. It's a conference that's sponsored by an organization called An Infinite Mind for people who have dissociative disorders. And I'm always writing. I write a weekly blog, and I don't know. I just need a couple more days in my week so I can get everything done that I want to get done.
Thank you for sharing that information. So audience, you know you have to connect with her. And if you're interested in that conference, make sure you check it out. As we wrap up your interview today, what is the one thing you feel like people absolutely need to know?
I think that people need to know that there's hope, that there's light at the end of the tunnel or light on the other side, that when you are feeling like you're at the end of your rope and you can't go another day, that you can go another day and you are worth it. You are worth it. It's worth it for you to walk through that wilderness with God at your side, even when you can't feel God.
Yeah.
Because when we're in that place, sometimes we can't. But to know that God is there walking with you through that wilderness and will take your hand and eventually lead you to the people and the places that you need to heal yourself.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing. CWS audience, you've heard her story. The thorns of our life don't have to take us out, so to speak. We can use those things to create something better and to help other people like Ms. Lynn is doing. God is perfecting you as you go through the process. Mm-hmm. So don't look at yourself as weak. Don't look at yourself as less than. Look at yourself as someone God has chosen to carry this particular burden because you got something greater to do with it. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And until next time, beautiful people, God bless.